Uhuru! Welcome to Solidarity Not Charity. This is the program of the African People's Solidarity Committee, and my name is Wendy Snyder. I am the local chair of the African People's Solidarity Committee here in Oakland, California, and this is my first time broadcasting right here. I'm hosting the show Solidarity Not Charity today, which is a show coordinated by the African People's Solidarity Committee. And as part of its strategy to forward the African Revolution, the African People's Socialist Party has established and leads the African People's Solidarity Committee since 1976, building principled and accountable support from the white community. Solidarity Not Charity presents a weekly live discussion on the philosophy, analysis, and strategy involved in winning and organizing white people to solidarity with the International African Revolution. So I just want to begin by saying we thank the African People's Socialist Party for allowing us this time on Uhuru Radio, and that we really invite people to be part of this discussion today. The theme of today's show is Columbus Day as the continuation of the celebration of genocide. And as people know, the United States celebrates Columbus Day usually on or around October 12th. This, just to say, we see Columbus Day as just one of the many holidays that puts forward, covers over and celebrates the genocide and slavery. And yet, on the other hand, we see in the world a growing resistance and unity of indigenous peoples reclaiming their history, coming together throughout the world to tell the truth about the system and to reclaim their own resources. So we are really excited by that, and we see this Columbus Day, hopefully soon to be one of many white nationalist holidays that will be a thing of the past. We understand that there are two pillars that make up the foundation of this U.S. imperialist system of slavery, the enslavement of African people, and the genocide of the indigenous peoples. I'm very excited to be able to bring to you today a very distinguished guest. We will be speaking very soon with Roberto Mucaro Borrero of the United Confederation of the Taino People. That's T-A-I-N-O. Who were some of the first peoples who experienced the genocide of the Spanish invasion led by Christopher Columbus. They experienced this invasion on the island in what is now known as Puerto Rico, which is still colonized by the imperialist white power, colonized by the United States. So I wanted to start off the program by reading some excerpts from the book that was written by Chairwoman Penny Hess. And Penny Hess is the chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee that I just mentioned works under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party. This is a book called Overturning the Culture of Violence, and it really is a must read, we feel, for North Americans or white people or European peoples anywhere and everywhere that want to see from the perspective of African and indigenous peoples. I'm just going to read an excerpt from the section called Bloody Hands Reach Across the Ocean. It says, even as Europe was tightening its grip on Africa, it was extending its bloody fingers across the Atlantic, setting out to conquer new territories. Within a year of Columbus's deadly excursion to the Americas, the Catholic Pope Alexander VI divided the world into Spanish and Portuguese spheres of interest, in effect pronouncing for the first time that Europe was to rule the world. Brazil. Africa and Americas. Like Africans and Asians, the peoples of the so-called Americas lived for thousands of years in magnificent civilizations before their invasion by bloodthirsty, gun-wielding white men. They were open and hospitable to foreigners. Columbus's own journals reveal this brutality and cynicism in the face of the welcoming stance of the indigenous peoples. And this is a quote from the journal of Christopher Columbus himself, who was, by the way, an Italian who was sailing for the Spanish crown. As soon as I arrived in the Indies, on the first island which I found, I took some of the natives by force in order that they might learn and might give me information of whatever there is in these parts. And so it was that they soon understood us, and we them, either by speech or signs, and they have been very serviceable. At present, those I bring with me are still of the opinion that I come from heaven, for all the intercourse which they have had with me. They were the first to announce this wherever I went. So all came, men and women alike, when their minds were set at rest concerning us, no one, small or great, remaining behind, and they all brought something to eat and drink, which they gave with extraordinary affection. So, I mean, just to understand the difference, first of all, of the cultures of the indigenous peoples that we learn through the Uhuru movement and the understandings of the African People's Socialist Party, that the societies, African societies and indigenous societies, were friendly to life, and that they had no way of preparing or understanding the depth of the onslaught of these European invaders. I mean, they just had almost no understanding of what, that this could be something that human beings were capable of. So just a couple other things before we get our guest on the line. Talking about, in a book called American Holocaust, David Stannard reveals that Columbus landed on his voyages, when they landed everywhere, his troops raped and murdered. And we certainly can look at, the U.S. military and the way that the United States police forces and military operates to see the parallels. And he says, whenever the marauding, diseased, and heavily armed Spanish forces went out on patrol, accompanied by ferocious armored dogs that had been trained to kill and disembowel, they preyed on the local communities already plague-enfeebled, forcing them to supply food and women and slaves, and whatever else the soldiers might desire. At virtually every landing, Columbus's troops had gone ashore and killed indiscriminately, as though for sport, whatever animals and birds and natives they encountered, looting and destroying all they found, as Columbus's son, Fernando, blithely put it. So, we look at this Holocaust, this genocide, and have to really see that we should, as people who want to be on the forward side of history, we should want no part of this type of celebration. So we're going to break for just a minute while we get our guests on the line, and we'll be right back with you on Solidarity Not Charity. Thank you.
No agreement today, no agreement tomorrow.
No agreement today, no agreement tomorrow.
No agreement today, no agreement tomorrow. I not go giri, make my brother hungry, make him not talk.
Na 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 na.
I not go giri, make my brother homeless, make him not talk.
Na 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 na.
My grandpapa talk, your grandpapa talk, my papa talk, your papa. I not go giri, make my brother hungry, make her not talk.
Na 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 na.
I not go giri, make my brother homeless, make her not talk.
Na 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 na.
No agreement today, no agreement tomorrow. Never.
No agreement today, no agreement tomorrow.
No agreement, never. No agreement, never.
For more options.
Yes. The best. All right, Uhuru, welcome back to Solidarity Not Charity, and we are here broadcasting from Oakland, California on the show of the African People Solidarity Committee. One second. Okay. All right, so I just wanted to remind people that you're listening to a show that's part of Uhuru Radio, and Uhuru Radio is a program, it's the online voice of the African Revolution. And today we've been talking about Columbus Day as the continuation of a celebration of genocide, and just this United States holiday we see as something that we hope will be a thing of the past real soon, as the rise of indigenous and African people struggle to reclaim their own history and their own land is on the forefront of what is happening. So I just want to say that I'm really very honored to have on the show for you today Roberto Mucaro Borrero of the United Confederation of Taino People. And can you hear me, Mr. Borrero?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. I wanted to say that that he is representative of some of the peoples who first experienced the genocide of the Spanish invasion led by Christopher Columbus on the island and what we now know as Puerto Rico, which, as I said earlier, is still colonized by imperialist white power in the form of the United States. And that we, as white people under the leadership of the African Revolution, understand that we are citizens of that are part of a colonial settler occupation of lands that do not belong to us, and we want to see the return of those lands to the indigenous people. So I would again like to welcome Roberto Mucaro Borrero, and he currently serves as the president and the chairman of the U.S. Regional Coordinating Office of the United Confederation of Taino People, as well as the chair of the NGO Committee on the United Nations International Decade of the World's Indigenous Peoples, which is a special committee of the Conference of Non-Government Organizations in consultative status with the UN Economic and Social Council. So welcome, Mr. Borrero.
Thank you very much for having me. It's an honor to be on the program with you. I'm sorry if the connection sounds a little off, but right now I'm attending an anti-Columbus memorial right here in Columbus Circle in New York City. So I'm here with some other Taino people just trying to raise awareness about what this day means to indigenous peoples and also a little bit about what Christopher Columbus actually did to native peoples, not only in the Caribbean islands, but as a result of his actions, how he affected indigenous peoples throughout the hemisphere, and even beyond indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, also how he impacted peoples from Africa as well.
Excellent. Uhuru. We say Uhuru. Uhuru means freedom. Thank you very much. I just wanted wanted to see if you could start by giving our listeners a sense of the society that the Taino people had before the European invasion, because we think it's important for people to know the advanced societies that existed before the European invaders.
Well, certainly I'd be happy to do that. I mean, our people, people who are known as Taino, Carib, Arawak, all those people from the islands, we had a society that espoused unity and harmony and not militarization that we see. That's why there's a myth going on that why it was so easy for Columbus to supposedly conquer the islands because we were the so-called peaceful Arawak, which is not really true. You know, our people have a history of resistance and at least tried in various ways to quell the genocidal campaign that was brought on our people. But it was always by attempting diplomacy, by trying to figure out other ways that we can get along and that we can coexist in harmony, in peaceful harmony with peoples, which is why we welcome Columbus and his people in the beginning of that historic period. But today, we're still seeing the results of that early interaction with the situation that our peoples are in, meaning non-recognition, loss of land, etc. But I think that we have to remember that in those times, there was no old age homes, there was no prisons. You know, there was people who were unified from village to village, from island to island, and even up through the mainland because of that ideology, meaning diplomacy first, trying to figure out ways that we could unify without militarization. Militarization or military action was always the last resort for our peoples.
Thank you. That's really important because I think oftentimes, part of the history that gets all the history gets covered over, but the history of how peoples can live gets covered over, and also, like you were saying, the history of the resistance, because of course the people resisted this that invasion, and I would like to see.
Yes.
if you could describe the impact that the European conquest of the Americas, specifically the Taino people, and the actions of the U.S. government upon the lives of the Taino and indigenous peoples of the Americas. That's a big question, but if you could say a little bit about that impact of genocide.
Well, sure. I mean, you have to remember that our people, you know, we lived in communities that, you know, Columbus himself described as like a paradise on earth. The Caribbean probably has an average year-round temperature somewhere in the 80s. So it was a place, islands where, you know, we had a year-round growing season, a lot of fresh water. So that gave rise to communities that were able to settle and be sedentary. That means stay in one place for a long time and establish well-balanced villages and communities. And not only was the agricultural port, but also the activities related to the bounty of the sea, the oceans. So our people had to be, you know, very well aware of everything about the ocean, from the current to important times of the year to go out on the sea, to how to harvest seafoods in a sustainable way that wouldn't overtax them like we see happening today. So you have to think about that kind of lifestyle and that kind of interaction, and then the impact of a society that wanted to stop all that, or that did stop all that in ways that they stopped people from going to the fields, to force them into campaigns to look for gold. Those who weren't in the camp, forced into the labor camps for looking for gold, you know, were forced to flee villages and flee areas and had to be basically living on the run for generations because of the incursions of the Spaniards and because of the military reprisals that were taken out on our peoples who didn't want to submit. You know, these are the same people who also welcomed Africans who were enslaved by that same colonial machine and brought over to the island to also work in gold fields or in the cane fields or in some kind of industry that was built to support the Spanish or the Portuguese or the English empires. You know, basically all the same empires, even though they spoke different languages, it was still the same impact and the same agenda that was brought on our people from island to island. So right. As a result of their coming in and that oppression, that militarization, a lot of the civilization that we had established was halted or paused or just basically torn down. Besides militarization, the Spaniards also brought over, besides the Bible, but they brought over diseases and rats and other things that came on the ships with them. And this also impacted our people to the detriment of thousands and perhaps even millions and millions of lives lost over those first few hundred years of contact. And how that continues today is that we see that indigenous people still do not have the responsibility that they once had as caretakers over the lands. Why? Because we lived in an oppressed colonial situation. Our lands were taken away. Now many indigenous peoples are quote-unquote wards of the state. You know, we're part of domestic dependent nations, even though our communities in many cases signed actual treaties, government-to-government treaties, indicating that we were government, we were sovereign peoples. But the militarization and the outright lies and you could say dirty tricks or whatever that was played on upon our people in the very early stages of the arrival of Europeans all contributed to the state of indigenous peoples, African peoples, all peoples of color around the world today that still are being oppressed by that mindset, that genocidal mindset, that mindset of greed, not need. This is how our people were based on need and not greed, and we are being subject to greed over need, you know. So this is some of the impacts that our people are still facing, not only in the islands, but throughout the Americas and beyond. You know, we have people in Australia, New Zealand, who also suffered colonialism, throughout Asia, throughout Africa. All of these people know about colonialism. And this is all linked to that time in 1492.
Thank you. Thank you very much for laying out that history so eloquently and clearly. I think that you know, it is so important that we delve into that history. And speaking as a white person, this is a challenge, you know, I know, to bring the truth to the white community, but I believe that it is in our interest to hear this truth. And the depth of the brutality and the destruction of, as you spoke about, the elaborate and the people talk about sustainability right now, and yet what destroyed the sustainability of hundreds of indigenous people throughout the earth was the European invasion. You're listening to Uhuru Radio, Solidarity Not Charity. This is the online voice of the African Revolution. This is Solidarity Not Charity, a program coordinated by the African People Solidarity Committee. And we're talking to Roberto Mucaro Borrero, who is the president and chairman of the United Confederation of the Taino People. And I would like to see if you could speak to some of that question of sustainability, because, you know, we organize in the white community. We see that people who call themselves progressive are talking about green this and green that and sustainability, but what we want to win North Americans or white people to see is that the real sustainability has to be the African resources, the resources of Africa going back to benefit African people, one Africa, one nation. And the same applies for, as you're talking about, the depth of the unity of indigenous peoples throughout the planet, that is what we're talking about. You can't have sustainability in an imperialist system.
Well, I agree with you. I think that, you know, while I'm not my phone was lost. Hello?
Yeah, great. I think we've got you back on the line. And
okay,
let me just
sorry
make
about
sure.
That.
No problem. Hold on one sec. Okay, we got him back on. Okay. Okay, just working out our own technical challenges too, so no problem here. So I'm sorry, but your response to the question I kind of put in there around the sustainability issue got completely cut off. So would you kindly repeat what you said?
Yeah. basically, what I was saying was that, you know, we, as indigenous peoples, you know, we're supportive of all kind of movements and all kind of ideologies. But to be with one ideology in particular, whether you know, the way I was describing was any kind of ism, whether it's capitalism, communism, socialism, you know, it really doesn't speak to what we as indigenous people really understood, because our systems were really so much more unifying and so much more encompassing than any of those current socioeconomic systems that we hear discussed today in different forums. You know, our way of life encompassed a spiritual way of life, a way of life that honored people in the communities in a more equitable fashion. For example, the women and the role that women played in our community. In a Taino community, a woman can also, you know, could be a cacique or a chief. You know, in some societies today, like even in America, we see how long it took for women to even get the right to vote.
Right.
You know, we still see the inequity in the workplaces and other places with regard to gender. You know, in our communities, we tried to balance that more. Why? Because we understood from the very beginning, at least in our philosophy, that life started from the woman energy, you know, and that was instilled in our young people from very early on, and that continued throughout their lives, you know, in the way that we interacted. So governmental responsibilities were also intertwined with spiritual responsibilities. We didn't have a separation, for example, of our church and state, even though what we had was not a church like what we see happening or what we saw happening in 1492 till even today of what's happening, and how the churches, even though they are supportive in many areas like in Chiapas, we have to acknowledge that, you know, that it's been the help of the church that has helped the Zapatistas and the local communities. But at the same time, we also have to understand the direct connection of the church in the colonization of the hemisphere.
Right.
And that it was the church, the Catholic Church, that essentially sanctioned the distribution of our land and resources to military powers, at that time being Spain, Portugal, and later on England, you know. So, you know, for us, we didn't really have a separation of our spiritual way of life from our administration, from our governmental activities, and we didn't really separate people from our community. In other words, our community people, from our children to our elders, women, all had access to community councils. You know, it wasn't like today where you can't even get near the president or the leader of your community without having to go through all kinds of hoops, you know,
right.
Whether it's a local official or the president of the United States. There's no interaction really with community, and that's why so much is lost. That's why so many of our governmental representatives, supposedly, who are supposedly working for the people and their constituents, don't have any idea really of what the people are about or what the people want, because they don't really interact with the people on a daily basis like our people of old, you know. So these are some of the differences and what, you know, how we try to promote ourselves as Taino people. We try to remind our children of how important these relationships are, these interactions are with people who are community leaders, to people who are, you know, artisans, people who sing traditional songs, etc. Everybody has an importance in our community. Everybody has a certain responsibility and is looked at as just as important as everybody else. And so these are the type of things that, you know, should be looked at when you try to develop systems that are going to be sustainable systems that talk about, you know, really, in essence, your future generation.
Right. Right. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. I think, you know, what you were saying about, I mean, every problem that my understanding through the years of developing my understandings come from my years being involved in the Uhuru movement and part of the African People Solidarity Committee. And I mean, we can see every problem that African indigenous people face is due to colonialism. And then for that matter, the problems that white people face of alienation and depression and all kinds of, you know, violence, internal to the white community, even that's based in, you know, this history of being part of an oppressor nation. And so I just wanted to, you know, appreciate that. Could you describe some of the efforts that have been made to, it could be, we're getting some kind of interference. Hopefully our listeners are not hearing that, I'm not sure. But could you describe some of the efforts? Are you hearing something?
Yeah, what we have is there's some shell horns being blown. I told you that we're in a...
Okay, good.
That's the protest going on in the background.
Good, it's not interference then.
Yeah, so you hear some shell horns.
Okay, great, yes. great, wonderful. So
you were saying something about... Yeah.
Yeah, the efforts to abolish Columbus Day, and just I know that I was looking at how, you know, that there's been a lot around the world even the way that Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, they toppled the Columbus statue a few years back.
Right.
The efforts to make it a day of remembrance or resistance. Could you describe some of those efforts that are going on today at this time?
Well, right now I'm right here in the belly of the beast in the heart of New York City at Columbus Circle, 59th Street, and we have a group of Taino people here who are having a mobilization, a manifestation, anti-Columbus manifestation, and that's just one thing that's happening throughout the Americas and even beyond. I mean, even in Hawaii, there's a gathering happening today to an anti-discovery day because, you know, for us in the Caribbean, it's before Captain Cook, so they have BC as well in the Pacific with regard to colonization. So they're having an anti-discoverer's day over there. Today, in the country of Colombia, there are mass marches and protests going on today to tomorrow, all linking the globalization, the situation of indigenous peasant populations, popular movements, African peoples, everybody, to what happened in 1492 and the colonialism and the campaigns of genocide that were brought to the Americas from that time and continue to be espoused today by militarized governments. You know, there'll be a gathering in Alcatraz in California they're also having Indigenous Peoples Day, resisting, again, highlighting our resistance colonization, our resistance to globalization, and the importance of speaking out, you know, what our story is, not quote-unquote history. You know, we need to start telling her story, our story, not only his story. You know, so these are the type of things that are happening all over the place, and I know that there's many more, but those are just some that, one of the very important ones that I wanted to acknowledge was the manifestation that's happening on the island of Boarding King in Mayagüez, because a big protest that we're having now is that they want to erect a 310-foot-tall Columbus statue in the city of Mayagüez in time for the Caribbean Games. And we just posted a petition online against that. We'll be hopefully meeting with the mayor of Mayagüez soon, and the actual company, a Netherlands company called the Holland Group. And it's their contention to put up this monument to Columbus in one of their ports, as he's linked with the sea and being admiral of the ocean seas, etc. You know, they feel that this is some kind of wonderful manifestation and honoring for their port. And as Taino people, there'll be Taino people protesting throughout the weekend in Puerto Rico about that. And one of the ways that you and your listeners can support is by signing our petition online and just keeping an ear out, I guess, through email, of what you can do to support, whether it be a letter or any other way that you can do to help us out with these things. But they're going on all over the world, so we're really not alone today. And it's just very important that there's shows like this and others that are letting indigenous people's voices and other people of good conscience. You know, this is not only an indigenous struggle. This is a struggle for all peoples of good conscience who say that these kind of symbols, this kind of ideology is not what we want for our present or for our future generations. We're looking for sustainability. We're looking for equity. We're looking for dignity, and we're looking for justice.
All right, Uhuru. Yes, and as you were speaking, I just wanted to communicate to you that the Uhuru Movement just convened, the International People's Democratic Uhuru Movement just convened a convention a couple of weeks ago and put out the Revolutionary National Democratic Platform, and it just needs to be said that the struggle of African and indigenous people is on the rise, that this is the type of society and future that any person who's conscious, as you said, freedom loving and wants to see a better world should be a part of. And you mentioned a few things, but I was wondering to conclude if you could just say how people can get in touch with you, what other current struggles you're involved in that you would like people to know about.
Sure. Well, besides what we do, we're doing at www.ucctp.org, ucctp.org. We have our petition against this Columbus statue in Puerto Rico, but there's also another campaign that we're supporting that's being turned from Columbus Day holiday into a national holiday for Native Americans, meaning Taino, American Indian, and so forth. This is the kind of action that we're also supporting, and people can also support that in that way by signing our petitions online. And you can look for United Native America by searching the internet for that. United Confederation of Taino People, I already told you. www.utpt.org is a way to get more information there, and also just more information about what we're doing as far as supporting other indigenous peoples throughout the hemisphere. There's also another website that I think is very important for people to know about if you want to get really up-to-date news from indigenous peoples themselves. That's called indigenousportal.com, www.indigenousportal.com. And there you can get information from all around the world, Africa, Asia, the Arctic, the Americas, the Caribbean, all over the place, about indigenous peoples, by indigenous peoples. Everything that we're feeling that is important is going on to that website. We hope that could be a central point for information. So I really hope that your listeners can take a look at our website, because, you know, we have to make use of the tools that we have today. Okay. Our ancestors were very familiar with using tools to better their communities and to better their communication. Those shell horns that you heard in the background were like our cell phones before there were cell phones, because we could communicate without wires using those shell horns, those guamos we call them. And today we're using the internet in the same way. We're using that as a way to mobilize, as a way to get out information, because we know mainstream media does not support indigenous peoples and popular peoples' movements, you know, such as what's going on with your initiatives and what's going on elsewhere. So we need to have alternative places and positions for getting up the word of what's happening in indigenous communities, and also how we could link together. So hopefully some of those things will help you and help listeners really connect to larger movements around the world.
Wonderful. Thank you so much to give us that information and the powerful discussion and presentation that you made today, and thank you for taking the time from your event and having us, you know, be a part of that event in a way too. Really, really moved to have had you on the show, and hope to have you again. So
thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Uhuru.
Thank you so much. Say bo matum nito u. Thank you, sister, and we look forward to being in contact. And of course, people can get in touch with me or anything that we do through our website. Again, www.ucgp.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. So we were speaking with Roberto Mucaro Barrero, who is part of the president of the United Confederation of Taino People. And again, you can reach them at UCTP.org. You've been listening to Solidarity Not Charity, the online part of Uhuru Radio, the online voice of the African Revolution. And we are a show that's coordinated by the African People Solidarity Committee under the leadership of the African People Socialist Party. I want to announce a couple things that are coming up. We are located in a number of different areas throughout the country. On tomorrow in Oakland, California, we will have a revolutionary study at 6 o'clock at the Temescal Library, which is 5205 Telegraph Avenue in Oakland. You can call us at 510-625-1106. You can join the Uhuru Foods at the St. Petersburg, Florida Saturday Market, and that will be next Saturday. You can participate in the Clark Park Flea Market. You can participate in a very important forum in Philadelphia on October 23rd that is entitled The U.S. in Crisis Economic Forum, Understanding the Meltdown and the Way Forward. This will be Thursday, October 23rd at 7:30 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church, 2125 Chestnut Street in Philadelphia. And for more information, you can call 215-387-0919. In Oakland, California, we are going to be having a training for the Uhuru Holiday Pie Campaign. It's going to be on October 22nd, and it's going to be at the Tea Cake Bake Shop starting at 6 o'clock. And for more information, you can call us again at 510-625-1106. I would also like to give out the St. Pete number. There is a festival happening at Circus McGurkus on Saturday, October 18th, and looking for more volunteers to serve and sell food. The phone number, the email is stpete, S-T-P-E-T-E, at uhurufoods.org. So once again, Solidarity Not Charity, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for your patience today as we conclude our program. And you can download archives of the shows at uhururadio.com. And you can also become a subscriber so that you can receive the presentations by Chairman Omali Yeshitela on a regular basis. So until next time, I'd like to say Uhuru, and see you next time. Uhuru.